you will please take your copy of God's Word and turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. Thank you again to those who lead us in worship and prayer week in and week out. I'm excited for our community groups that are resuming in this week and the next, and the joy of returning together and going deeper in God's Word. If you're not involved in a community group or a small group Bible study or Sunday school in some form or fashion, let me strongly encourage you to connect with other believers, to dive deep in God's Word as we grow faithfully as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a guest with us, we are in the middle of a series on Proverbs entitled The Fear of the Lord. Proverbs calls us to worship, to admiration of God, to devotion to His Word and His ways, and we need God's wisdom, His wisdom as revealed in His Word, His wisdom of His character, His wisdom seen and personified in the Lord Jesus Christ. The author of this section of Proverbs is King Solomon, and he is writing Proverbs specifically to his son, but it is applicable to all of us as believers, to those who are receiving God's Word. We've seen last week that we need to understand that the fear of the Lord is not just a matter of the intellect, it's a matter of the heart. That our heart must fear God, that our heart must understand God's wisdom, our heart must choose to follow the Lord. And today we're going to see one of the most probably well-known Bible verses in all of Scripture. In fact, if I ask somebody what their favorite Bible verse is, it's typically either John 3:16 or this verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Many of you are like, that is my favorite verse. That maybe is even a life verse. I've got it cross-stitched on a pillow or on a coffee mug or up on the wall somewhere in my house. But we need to see from this passage that it's not just a good saying to encourage us. It's actually revealing our need and our dependency for Christ. So this morning, we're only going to read through verse 12 as we're going through Proverbs thematically. We won't cover every single verse in this chapter, but we'll focus this morning especially on verses 5 and 6. Let's read Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves, as a father the son in whom He delights. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank You that You in Christ delight in us. And because we are Your sons and Your daughters, You discipline and chasten us so we can be conformed to Your image and be conformed to the likeness of Your Son. Father, we pray and confess even this morning that we don't always trust in You with all our heart, that we often lean on our own understanding. Help us, Father, to acknowledge You in all of our ways, trusting that You will direct our lives. Lord, we pray especially this morning for the victims of the shooting in Minneapolis this week. We ask, Lord, for an end to the senseless violence, the rebellion in our hearts against You and against Your created order. We, Lord, ask for comfort for the families. And Lord, too, we ask and pray for boldness for a day when Christians may even become increasingly persecuted in our country. Lord, help us to see our need for Christ. Help us as a people and as a nation and as Your church to repent of our self-idolatry and turn to You. May the gospel go forth in our land. And for the one who doesn't know You yet, Lord, may they trust in You as their Savior and believe in the only begotten Son of God. It's in the name of Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Your heart dwells on the thing that it treasures the most. If you treasure God the most, your heart will dwell with Him. But if you treasure the things of this world, you treasure even the self-idolatry of your own heart, your heart will rest there. The Lord Jesus Christ said it this way in Matthew chapter 6, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." If you treasure Christ, if your heart is set on Christ, then the overall pattern of our lives should be increasingly growing in our love for our Savior. It doesn't mean that we won't fall into sin. It doesn't mean that we don't deal with the realities of a fallen world and that we're not in a progressive sanctification journey as God's people. But it does mean if we have been saved, if we have been born again, that our hearts and our affections for the Lord Jesus should increasingly grow in our love and our trust and dependence on Him. And we see that whenever we come to the Word of God. You see, the Word of God often acts like a mirror. It reflects the truth in the reality. Often, sometimes I'll look in the mirror and I don't like what I see. And I kind of want the mirror to show me something different than what is there. But the truth is not in my perception of self. The truth is in what is reflected. In the same way, God's Word, it reflects, it shows the truth of the conditions of our hearts. Often our hearts reveal themselves through our actions. As we're entering into sports season, it happens every year, but there will be some sports announcer somewhere that will say something, and he thinks the microphone is turned off. But he says something inappropriate, and the microphone is turned on, and everybody hears what he has to say. And typically that announcer will come back and say, "Well, I really didn't mean it, and my heart's in a different place than what I said." But the truth is, his heart was there. He said what was on his heart in the moment rather than realizing that his heart needed to be changed. Our actions testify to the condition of our heart. Solomon pleads with his son, and he pleads with us today. God, through his word, pleads with us to consider the condition of our hearts. Do I treasure God the most? Do I treasure his word? Do I treasure the gospel? Does my heart want to be shaped and conformed to the image of Christ because I've been born again, I've been redeemed by his blood, and I want to be my Lord and Savior? When God's word speaks of his wisdom, this is collaboratively revealing God's character and his nature. We see that the wisdom of God in the New Testament is the foolishness of the world. The cross is God's wisdom. The word of God is wisdom. The Savior, Jesus Christ, is the wisdom of God incarnate, all pointing to the person, character, and nature of Christ. So when we see in the gospel, we see in his word where our hearts are not in line with God's nature, when our hearts are not in line with God's word, when our hearts are not in line with the person and work of Jesus Christ, we need to repent of sin and restore and pursue fellowship with Christ. Proverbs 3 calls us to put our absolute trust in the Lord, our whole confidence in his word. When our hearts are placed upon the Lord, when we live according to God's design, we experience his best for our lives. Now, the book of Proverbs is not like a formula. It's not like a Coke machine where if I put in something, there's an automatic reaction, as if I'm trying to manipulate God to get something I want out of this. When we read things about like our barns being filled with plenty or letting things go our way, it's not like we want the outcome first and then so we're going to obey God, because what our heart really wants is the outcome. Rather, instead, our heart should want God. We should pursue him and love him, and then the result of that is the way that God has wired the world. We see often in the New Testament that there's a reality of persecution, that things don't always go the way we expect. But when our hearts are settled upon the Lord, when we trust in him and his best, we see that God's ways are the best ways for us. Proverbs 3 says, trust in God's ways. Seek God's ways, treasure God's ways, and practice God's ways in how you interact with one another. Today we're dwelling on verses 5 and 6. And I want to call you, church, and urge you to trust that God's ways are the best ways. Trust that God's ways are the best ways. Let's look at this familiar verse. Verse 5, verse A, calls us to total trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The Hebrew word for trust has the the connotation of confidence. It's the idea that you are unsuspecting that something negative or something bad might happen to you, that you are carefree. Maybe you're somebody who gets a little unnerved with heights, or you don't like walking across narrow bridges. That maybe your brain tells you, okay, the engineers built this bridge, or they've designed this platform where I'm going to be safe. I've seen other people be safe, but when you get out on that bridge or when you get on that platform, you are not confident. You are not at ease. You are uncertain about what might happen. Even though you've walked out on the bridge, you really haven't trusted in the bridge with your whole heart. Many of you know I enjoy movies, and often I'll get a movie reference, but I'll be honest, I don't like scary movies. I don't like movies with jump scenes in them. I don't like feeling like a four-year-old girl on the edge of my seat that something is going to get me in the screen. And if you are, God be with you. But often I'll feel the tension of the scary moment, and I'll like fast forward it, or I'll mute it, and my wife will be like, no, this is the good part. Well, the thing is, I'm not carefree in that moment. My heart is not at ease. It is not trusting. I have suspicion and insecurity. God doesn't call us to the type of trust where we mentally assent to the fact that He is real. Trusting in the Lord with all our heart means that we are completely carefree in the Lord's goodness. We are completely unsuspecting that He might do us wrong. Rather, we trust completely that God's ways are the best ways. Our hearts are secure in Him. Friends, there are no jump scenes with God. God's not going to jump out and get you. Proverbs 3 calls us to rest entirely upon His goodness. Rest entirely upon His grace. Brothers and sisters, you can know that God is good. How do you know that God is good? You can look to the cross. You can see Christ who gave His life for you. You can see the victory in the resurrection. You can trust carefree in Jesus that your sins are forgiven. God calls us to rest entirely upon Him. And we do that with all our heart. The word for all here in Hebrew means all. All. Not just a little bit, not just the part we like, but our total self. The heart is the center of the person. It's not just my emotions, it's not just a part of it, but everything of who I am needs to rely and rest and have confidence on God. My intellect, my personality, my affections and my loves, my wiring, my desires. All of who I am, all of who God has made me to be, must rest upon the Lord. Friends, let me tell you this. The only type of trust that is true trust is total trust. Partial trust is not full trust. In fact, it's distrust. God calls us to the type of trust that is true and total and 100% reliant upon Him. The trust that God calls us to give is all of ourselves. Not just the parts that we like, but all of who He has made us to be. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 22, verse 37, quotes Deuteronomy 6 when He's asked of what is the greatest commandment. And He says it this way, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. All means all, friends. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. To trust in God is to give complete surrender to His goodness, complete trust that His ways are best. Every single part of me needs to be submitted to God. It comes back to the cross and submits ourselves to His goodness and to His ways and to His plans and to His word. We have total trust in the goodness of Jesus. And how we have total trust is often echoed in the opposite of that. What does the second half of verse 5 say? It says to lean not on your own understanding. That is to have total distrust of yourself. Total distrust of yourself. Now, I'm not talking about like danger instinct or just wisdom or conscience. God gives us those things for our protection. Sometimes this verse is misused in a way to think, you know, I know this situation is wrong, but I shouldn't believe my instinct, and I'm just going to go ahead and put myself in harm's way. That's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is actually speaking of our heart being submitted to God. To lean not on your own understanding means that we are totally on the Lord, and we are not leaning upon ourselves. To lean has the idea of support. It has the idea of being propped up. Maybe there's a time where you've had an injury or something and you've needed perhaps a cane or a walker or a walking boot like our friend Guy to get along. We're praying for your recovery, brother. About 6 years ago, something happened in our family. I'd had a long day and I was up in our attic. And I misstepped in our attic and came tumbling through the sheetrock onto our tile floor. I suffered a fracture in my L1 vertebrae and my back, falling through the roof. One of my good friends said, "Don't say you fell through the roof. That's for wimps. Say that you flew through your house." So I flew through my house and encountered the pain of gravity. Well, by God's mercies, I didn't have to have surgery. I was able to recover, but they shaped a back brace for me to walk. And when I had this brace on, I felt like I could kind of get around okay. I was doing all right. But when I took it off, I felt weak and kind of uneasy about myself. Friends, when we trust in God, we aren't putting on a back brace. We aren't holding on to a cane. We aren't grabbing on to the platform to support ourselves. We are not leaning on anything else besides the Word of God. We are relying completely on God's wisdom. We're not looking to self-intuition. We're not looking to modern philosophies. We're not looking to our feelings. We're not just looking to whatever seems to be what the crowd is thinking. We're trusting that God's word is enough, that Christ is sufficient for us, that we can look to the Lord for everything. We are commanded to distrust anything that would supplant the Word of God, primarily things that develop in our hearts. Friends, you see, Jeremiah 17:9 says that our hearts are deceitful. Our hearts can trick us when we are in the flesh. That they can lie to us. And sometimes we feel that something is right, but when it goes contrary to the Word of God, we submit ourselves to Scripture. We can't have one foot on God's word and one foot on ourself. It's like when you get on an airplane. If you've boarded an airplane, if you've flown before, you know you can't have one foot on the plane and one foot on the ground. You can't do the splits for that long. You've got to put both feet on the airplane, both feet on it to trust it and to see where it will go. To lean on your own understanding is to keep one foot on the ground. To know that we are totally trusting is to rely 100% on God's character, to rely 100% on God's word, and to rely 100% upon God's Savior. When confronted with any situation in our life, when confronted with any circumstance, our first instinct shouldn't be, "Well, I think and I feel." But our first instinct should be, "What does the word of God say? What does Scripture say? What does God say?" And to go all in on this. Friends, when we trust and lean on ourselves, we're actually not trusting God. We distrust our own hearts and we trust fully the Word. This is a life of faith. When the New Testament says that we walk by faith and not by sight, it is meaning that we are calling ourselves to walk with total trust in the Word of God. Not to self, not to sight, not to our own instincts, but to the Lord. Total distrust of self, total trust upon the Lord. This is coupled in verse 6 with total submission to God. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. All your ways, acknowledge Him. The word acknowledge means to know intimately. It's a deeper understanding than the facts. To acknowledge means that I know the facts, but I also have experience and that my heart is resting upon this truth. To simply be aware that God is able, to simply be aware that God is sovereign is insufficient. To acknowledge God means that we have fellowship with Him. Intimate, personal relationship with the living God of the universe. When we acknowledge God in all our ways, we don't just tip our hat and say, well, you know, there's the man upstairs and he's going to do whatever he wants. No, we come to the personal God who's revealed Himself in Christ, to the personal God of the Bible, and we seek and desire intimate fellowship with Him as He has revealed Himself so we can know Him and His ways deeper and deeper. James chapter 4 addresses this, if you've read the book of James, this idea of how we make our plans and go throughout the day. We don't just say we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and yeah, God's up there, but really I'm in control. Rather, we should approach our lives with this statement, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills, we will do this. If this is what God would do, we acknowledge Him, we trust Him, we have full fellowship with Him, and if the Lord wills, we will walk in this way. To acknowledge God in all our ways means we realize that God's will for our life is better than our will for our life. Not just some of our ways, but all of our ways. Not just at church on Sunday, but all of our ways. Not just when people are watching, but in all of our ways. Not just when it's advantageous to us, but in all of our ways. Not just when I might get caught, but in all of our ways. When you consider your past week, when you consider the past month, maybe the pattern of your life, are all of your ways submitted to God? Are all of your ways reflecting personal fellowship with the Lord? Are all of your ways seeking to submit yourself to Scripture? Is all of your ways reflecting an intimate, deep relationship with God? Or are we merely acknowledging Him, friends, in just the parts where it's convenient to acknowledge Him? Just the parts where people may see? Or are we acknowledging Him in the secret and unseen parts of our hearts? To follow God in all of our ways means total submission to His Word, and to His plan for our life. We do that with total confidence. And He will make straight your paths. The Bible translation I learned as a child was, and He will direct your paths. Maybe some of your Bibles say, show you which path to take. Rightly understood, this isn't just about the choices you have of the day. It isn't whether I should wear the red shirt or the blue shirt or this or that, though I believe it's applicable. This actually is referring to the path that we've seen in chapter 1 and chapter 2. There's the path of righteousness and the path of unrighteousness. There's the path that leads to life and there's the path that leads to death. And when we trust in the Lord, when we acknowledge Him, when we submit our hearts to His ways, and we don't lean on ourselves, then He will direct our lives in the path of righteousness. We won't be pulled off by the seductress. We won't be pulled off by the troublemakers and the thugs. We won't be tempted by the ways of the world because our hearts will rest on God and trust Him totally. In chapter 1, verse 15 of Proverbs, the troublemakers have a path. They say, come on with us. Chapter 2, verse 8, we see that the Lord gives direction on the path of wisdom. Chapter 2, 13, there are those who forsake the paths of God, and those are crooked paths in verse 15. Paths that lead to death in 18 and 19. Our only hope in chapter 2, verse 20 says that we walk in the path of the righteous. Friends, when you trust in the Lord, you can have total confidence, 100% absolute certainty that God will keep you off the wrong path, that God will keep you in His ways, that He will keep you on the difficult, the straight path to the narrow gate, to where He is. Not the path that is wide and leads to destruction, but the path of eternal life, the path of fellowship with Jesus. I was encouraged this week by somebody said, you know, many of us get critical that the path to life is difficult. We get frustrated with God that that path is hard. We sometimes may wonder why the gate is so narrow. But brothers and sisters, we should marvel that the gate is open at all. We should marvel that the path is even available to us at all. We should be so thankful and grateful that God has given us a way to navigate that path in our life. That God has opened up the doors of heaven. That He has made available salvation to those who trust in Christ. Friends, when I trust the Lord completely, when in all my ways I acknowledge Him, and when I don't lean on my understanding, I end up on the Lord's path. The path to eternal life, the path of fellowship with Jesus. Oh, friends, trust that God's ways are the best ways. Total confidence in Him. Don't lean on yourself, but in everything, public and secret, acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. I want to address common ways that we often don't trust the Lord. Because I don't want you, it's easy to trust God when things are going the way I think they should. Right? When things are going my way, when things are going according to my will, it's easy to maybe trust God. But when things get difficult, it can be a lot harder to trust the Lord. I think one way that we're often very regular in not trusting the Lord is just with our daily routine. Often we go through our day on autopilot. If you're a planner or a list kind of person, maybe you make a list for your day of what you want to get done and what you hope to accomplish. And when your list works out, you're happy. But when your list doesn't work out, when you have an unexpected day, when there's an interruption to your daily routine, I don't know about you, but I often start to not trust in the Lord. I start to get frustrated, and I lean on my own understanding rather than acknowledge that this is the day that God has for me. And that I must rely totally and completely upon Him. Friends, start your day with taking time to acknowledge the God. Take time to start your day in the Word. Take time to start your day in prayer. If you commute and you're saying, man, I don't have time to read my Bible, put on an audio Bible and listen to it, even in the few minutes back and forth in the car. Take time to pause before you jump out of bed and check your phone. That's a good encouragement to believers. Have you prayed before you've checked your text messages? Submit yourself to the Lord in your daily routine. Another common way we often don't trust the Lord is with our stuff. It's with our stuff. Christians should give out of worship and give out of confidence that God is our provider, that He is enough for us. And sometimes when it comes to our money, it comes to our things, maybe even our time, we start to act like we're the owners of it rather than the stewards of it. We can look to stuff for satisfaction. We can look to stuff for security. We spend money on things because we think they'll give us happiness rather than realizing the happiness is found in God and not in the created things. We could save and hoard for security, thinking that our money or our savings is actually what brings us safety, rather than relying upon the Lord. Friends, we should trust God with our stuff. We trust God with all of our things as stewards, using them as means of worship to God. Another common way that I think we often lean on understanding is when it comes to our future. How often has God been faithful to us in the past? How often has God shown His goodness and His ways in the past? But when it comes to the future, We suddenly act as if we have no confidence in God. That we have to figure it out on our own, and we have to somehow manipulate things for our agenda. Friends, we need to trust God for our future. Maybe you're dealing with a chronic sickness or illness, and you don't see a way that it's going to come to an end. You can trust God in the midst of that. If you're longing for a relationship, you can trust God to work that out. If you're unsure what's going to happen with your job, maybe you're a college student thinking of switching majors or not knowing what direction you are. Friends, don't lean on your own understanding. Use the wisdom that God gives. Use godly counselors. Use circumstances. But don't trust your own heart. Trust the Lord. Trust His ways. Trust that He will guide your path. God has been faithful in the past, and He will be faithful into the future. Another way often that we don't trust the Lord is when it comes to our dealings with one another. If you look ahead in Proverbs 3, when you get down to verse 28 and following, there, it talks about how we interact with our neighbors. How often we can defraud our neighbor, or we can plan evil against our neighbor, or we can contend with them. The Word of God actually tells us that how we treat one another shows our trust in God. If I'm treating my neighbor wrongly, if I'm treating my friend wrongly, it's often because I am not keeping my confidence upon Jesus. And I'm having to defend my own security. I'm trying to work out my ways. I'm trying to protect my things rather than relying upon the Lord. Friends, when we trust in God, when our hearts are rested upon Him, that enables us to have true love for one another. Because we're reflecting the love that God has for us to our brothers and sisters. It means that we're reflecting the love that God has for a lost world to a world that desperately needs the gospel. Friends, when it comes to our dealings with others, maybe co-workers, maybe our family, we don't protect self-interest. We show genuine love to the Lord. Another way I think we often don't trust the Lord is when our plans don't work out. I had something happen this week where we had a plan. It was going to go this way, and we thought that we had a green light on everything, and then at the last minute, God shut the door. We got told no to something that we thought was going to happen. I can think of times in the past where maybe I thought a career change or a promotion or something would be good for me, and God said no. In that moment, how I reacted showed what my heart was trusting. If I can be honest, when God has told me no in the past, usually it shows that my heart hasn't been relying on Him. God, this would have been great for me if you had said yes. God, I had a plan for my life. God, I had a way for my life. And why were you such a bad God to tell me no? Friends, we must go to the Lord with total confidence that His path, His ways, His sovereign work in our lives is for our best. How we react when we don't get our ways shows if our confidence is upon the Lord. And friends, I think another way we often don't trust the Lord is when we're in pain. Maybe we haven't sinned. Maybe we haven't done necessarily anything wrong, but there's a situation where we're in pain. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's relational. But often when we're hurting, that's when it's hard to trust God. God, don't you see my pain? Don't you see my hurt, God? Don't you care about me? Don't you care about what I'm going through, Father? Friends, trust in God means that we trust in Him in the midst of pain. It's the reality of living in a broken world. It's the reality of living in a place where sin still exists. And the pain that we experience in our daily lives should, instead of creating rebellion against God, it should create a longing for heaven. It should create a longing to be with the Lord when He will wipe away every tear from our eye. When He will restore every brokenness in our life. Friends, trust God in the midst of pain. He will direct your path. His ways are best. So if you find yourself not trusting in God, your daily routine, your stuff, your future, when things don't work out, in pain, in dealing with other people, how then do I trust God? How do I actually do this? Well, you trust God in two ways. Two parts, two sides of the same coin. And this is what happens to us when we become Christians. When we believe in the gospel, we trust God through repentance. Repentance means a change of mind. We were going our way and we thought our way was best, but now our minds have been changed and now we go God's way. Repentance is coming to an awareness of our sin and our need for a Savior. And sometimes God takes us through pain, God takes us through hardship, God takes us through things not working out to show where we're relying on ourselves and how we need to repent of sin and turn to Him and rely upon Him. Friends, when there's an awareness of in your life of not trusting in God, our first reaction should be one of repentance. The Christian life is a life of repentance, turning from self-trust and turning to God-trust. Maybe God is taking you through a situation in your life to take you and to shape you and to reveal sin in your heart, to unearth that idol that was so deeply entrenched, to call you to let go and put your confidence in God. We repent. And then the second thing we do is we remember. We remember the gospel. You see, when I trust in myself, when we trust in our ways, we've often taken our spiritual eyes off of what Christ has done for us. We take our eyes off of the Lord Jesus and we turn them inwards. And so we need to remember the gospel in our daily lives. We remember that God is over all things from start to finish. We remember that Jesus lived the life of total trust and dependency, and I can look to Christ for when times are hard. I can remember that Jesus went through more pain and more suffering than I could ever imagine, but He bore the shame willingly to the point of death, even death on the cross. And I can know that in Jesus, in His victorious resurrection, that my sins are forgiven. I can know because Jesus is risen from the dead that I can have fellowship with God. Friends, we need to draw close to the gospel. We remember the gospel. When we remember what Jesus has done, that enables us to trust Him with our lives. If you've ever driven out on Highway I-40 going out west from Amarillo to Oklahoma City, you'll go through a little town called Groom. And really, know if you've ever been through Groom, it's known for one landmark, a giant landmark. It's a cross, huge cross. I think it's the largest in the Western Hemisphere. I haven't double-checked my statistics. It's big. But when you see it in the distance, it's itty-bitty. As you drive, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then when you take that exit and pull off and you stand under it and you look up, you marvel at how huge it is. The size of the cross hasn't changed. I've drawn closer to the cross. I've seen how big it is. I've seen how tremendous it is. And brothers and sisters, in our life, we need to draw closer and closer to the cross, to see how great God's love is for us, to see how total His forgiveness is for us, to see how unsurpassed His love is for us. We repent of sin and self-trust, and we remember the gospel, and we run to the cross. Brothers and sisters, trust God's ways are the best way. Trust that in Jesus, His plan, His path, His purpose for your life is far beyond what you could possibly imagine. When times are hard, when things aren't going according to your way, repent of self-trust. Repent of leaning on your own understanding. And acknowledge and rely on the Lord in all your ways. And He promises He will direct your paths. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for this reminder from this glorious truth. Oh God, help us to trust that your ways are the best ways. Help us to realize that whatever ideas we have for our own life, whatever ways that we want to architect or engineer a situation or a circumstance, that what you have for us is better. That what your word reveals is better than the inclinations of our heart. What we see in Christ is better than any goodness we can summon up. Lord, I pray and ask, whatever challenge we as your church are facing, whatever circumstance of the day, whether it's our routine, our stuff, our future, our relationships, our pain, God, may we take those to the cross, cast them upon you, and remember the glories of Jesus. In the name of our Savior, the triumphant King of Kings, the glorious Lord of Lords, we pray.